And welcome back to Coast to Coast. This hour, of course, we're going to keep chatting with Karen Dahlman about her latest work, The Spirit of Alchemy, and, of course, her book, The Spirits of Ouija. And we'll take your phone calls, your questions. But if you've had a Ouija board experience that you want to share with us, check in with us as well. Back in a moment here with Karen on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Karen Dahlman with us, The Spirits of Ouija. Since you were a little girl, you've been involved in the Ouija board. Karen, did you ever think that it would evolve into what it is now for you?
Heck no. Never in a million years and then some. You know, George, I wanted to share, how this kind of evolved. I got my Ouija board, of course, in 1973. I was pretty young. But what happened, and I'm finding out as I'm sharing my story more and more, and, you know, after being at OuijaCon and people reaching out to me, what I'm hearing is my story is very similar to others. When I was very young, and I talk about this in the Spirit of Alchemy, I had a so-called imaginary playmate, okay? It wasn't so imaginary after all. I started sharing that story older now. I'm sharing it, and people are telling me, well, I had an experience, too, of something similar. I mean, a lot of children have this, not many multiples, but lots of children have this experience, or when they're young, they may have experience of, you know, a visitation or a feeling that somebody died had visited them, or even sometimes it's fearful stuff of, you know, scary eyes looking at them.
Yeah.
But I find that a lot of times kids, because they're so close to the other side where they came, they're open. Their veil is still lifted, and many of them experience these things. I was such a kid, and I didn't know how to put it into context. And when I tried to explain it to my family, my parents, or clergy, everybody just said, you know, it's a bad nightmare you're having, or it's a bad dream, or you're just making this up, or you have an imaginary playmate, you're pretending to make believe, and I wasn't. And to this day, I can still remember my imaginary friend. But what he's become now, and what he always was, what I didn't understand, is he's a guardian. He's one of my angelic guardians, and I still, to this day, communicate with him. I put him away for about, 20, 30 years, and he's come back out
time
when I need him the most. It's crazy. But people start sharing with me, they too had similar experiences, and they're starting to now recount them or starting to be able to put it in order, because now you're older, you have a little more wisdom of what's going on. When you're a kid, you just don't know.
Okay, let's go to some of the phones while we continue chatting with you, Karen. Let's go to John in St. Louis on the wildcard line. John, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Karen.
Good evening, John.
Hi, John.
You're touching me on such a deep level because we're living in a pressure cooker where we're like we're all under thumb screws. We're losing jobs and we're getting sick. Many young people seem to be young men having heart attacks at 35, 40 years old. So many problems, drug problems, suicide. And I feel that you bring us an answer and a tool, you know, because we've been through 2012 and there's people talking about ascension. That's what you're talking about, really dealing with, really connecting. You know, you bring a key to us. You're a pioneer. George is a pioneer. And I just want to really thank you for these tools that you're bringing us. I'm going to get your book, and I'm really going to apply. I have a hard time meditating. I'm kind of a little bit of a workaholic, but you know, I know that the way out is to go in, because George had Frosty on the other night, and basically Frosty was asking us to stop, to do something that's not going to happen in our country, because the politicians are asking us to bring in all these people from all over the world and save everybody in the world and all this immigration stuff. And Frosty's asking us to say, stop immigration completely, because we can't do it. It's unsustainable. All the problems the Frosty was talking about, George, you know, it's unsustainable right now, but there's only one way out, and it's in. And that's where you bring it. So thank you, Karen. Thank you for the tools you're giving us. This is the way out. It's ascension within. So thank you.
Thank you, John, for mentioning that, and you are so spot on.
Okay.
And yes,
I know him, Karen, too, from my Nighthawk days in St. Louis.
Great.
Yeah.
Glad to have you back, John. What I want to say is ascension, think of it this way. Don't think of it as leaving your body and trying to go to the spiritual realm. See it as staying within your body and being human, yet bring the spiritual into your human experience. That is the key. And that is what we missed with the 2012. Not everybody missed that. We weren't going to be going off this planet. We were supposed to become more spiritual beings right now, living in the here. And the only way, you're absolutely right, John, that is what I'm talking about. You said it so succinctly. Thank you. The way out is to go within. We'll just leave it at that. That was beautifully well said.
Karen, you know, when we dabble with the other side, of course, as we've been talking about tonight, you could stumble into something that you just don't want to stumble into. What is the easiest way to prevent that?
Well, again, I'm going to go back to John's words. The way out or to go into the realm is to go within. We have to know our centered locus of control. I know I keep saying that, but I'm repeating it over and over again so we understand that we have a responsibility to ourselves, and that is to get centered. Find that place, and then you can explore. I'm all for exploring the boundaries of consciousness. I'm all for exploring the possibilities within the world and without in other realms of the world that we don't even understand exist. That's not everybody's cup of tea, but it is mine, and it sounds like John's looking at some of these ideas too. But what you're going to find, George, instead of dabbling in these realms, go within your own self and find the realms within. The spirit of alchemy takes you into all your own internal realms, which the secret is. The secret to this and now, everybody listen, the secret is all these realms exist within yourself. Make amends with those first. Make amends with those fears within, the trepidations, the fears, and then you're going to start seeing the outside world shifting for you. Not that, you know, all of a sudden peace is going to happen instantaneously, but we've got to start somewhere. We have to start with sweeping our own back porch, which means taking care of that internal world of self. Find a place where we can get rid of the hatred within. That's what we need to do, and that's this book talks about finding the balance between the dualities and finding that they really can coexist to allow us to feel more empowered within our lives.
Let's go next to Cheryl in Gold Bar, Washington, west of the Rockies. Cheryl, you're on with Karen Dolman. Go ahead.
Karen, it's your sister Cheryl. George is a long-distance cousin.
How about
Hello,
that?
Hello, Cheryl. How are you?
Well, I'm with the two people that are guiding me through this maze that is an outright miracle. So let's get going. So I love your voice tone, your pattern. You're telling me everything I need. Ma'am, I played with a Ouija board to the age of 16.
Oh, boy.
I'd come out from Wichita in the Missouri lands to the big Seattle area. Unfortunately, it was told later to me that there was a pool of tears, being that it told me I had a car accident at 57. Now, with my big PUD life, I did almost get hit and killed. I tried to stop the truck going by with my hands. I backed around the front of the car. So I'm tapped in, you guys. And I just want to thank you. My boyfriend was Italian. He had dreams of who was going to die. The twin babies of his sister-in-law died. He also dreamed that he killed me. At the last moment, I told him I loved him, I'm sorry, and he let me go. But, George,
yes,
I know
sir.
You love your wife, and without this woman talking tonight, it gave me the confidence to get back in, George.
You're welcome. What wife?
Oh, excellent, Cheryl. Thank you. And by the way, Cheryl, I'm also from Wichita, so we share a similar background.
Let's go to Mike, truck driving in South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
I have an interesting situation when it comes to Ouija boards. I know that I've got several friends that are very spiritual, very tapped in. Ouija boards work great for them. But the first time I ever tried using one with some friends, the second I put my fingers on it, it stopped working. And now it's to the point where if I'm even in the room with them, they will not work. And I don't know if I'm broken or what. And I'm just curious as to what your insight on that might be, because I can't figure it out.
I like that you called and asked this question. I get asked this a lot, and I've seen it in my own life, work with some people who walk into the room. It's not that you're broken. Don't ever think that. What it is that this tool may not be for you, you know. And the way this tool works, it's almost like it's a permission for us to unlock something within ourselves. And I want to say this too, Mike. The tool is the board. Let's call it the board. The board is neutral. You know, my board I love to use is Masonite. That's all it is. It's not imbued with any special powers. George once asked me which was more important, the planchette and the board, and I said, neither. It's myself. So the person itself has to feel a calling for this tool. A lot of people can learn to use it, but as my spirit guides tell me often, they say, everybody can tap into their higher guidance, this inner system, this wisdom I'm talking about, but this tool isn't for everybody. So because it may not work for you now, doesn't mean it might not work for you later, but it also may mean that you have other ways to do this and to focus there. Trust, this is what I want to say to you, Mike, trust the process that's being presented to you. If it doesn't work, that's a message I'm going to say from the universe or from your spirit guides that, not that it's bad, I'm not going to say that, it's just that it's not your tool. You may find that you want to try meditation. Maybe you like to read tarot cards. You know, maybe there's something else you would like to use to tap into these energies. That's what I would suggest.
Okay, good luck to you, Mike.
And, yeah, good luck, Mike.
Hope that all works out for you. Our higher self, Karen, how high can we go anyway in terms of that higher self?
It's a lovely metaphor, and when I say it's this energy field, it really is. It encompasses our soul, our spirit. It's the part of us that is connected back to Source, and so it is so high, so large. It's infinite in its size. See it as a giant sphere, and that sphere is like this beautiful, like a world in itself, and it overlaps with other people's spheres. And at any given time, when you're interacting with somebody and you're not even aware of it, your sphere is touching that person's sphere. And that's how we tap into telepathy. That's how we tap into intuition, empathic abilities, because we're overlapping. And so this energy center, this energy field is just, it's enormous. I just call it infinite. And if that's hard to imagine, then imagine it as like maybe all the way out into the cosmos, as far as you can think. Maybe to the sun and back, or to the moon or something, and see that it's inside your body, it's your spirit, your soul, but it's outside as well. And if you begin to hone it, tune into it, it's a very subtle frequency. It's always with you, just so you know. We never, ever lose it. You can't get rid of it. It's always with you, but you may not always hear it. So my goal when I talk about this work, and I write about this because people have written to me and have really encouraged me to share more and more of this stuff. So that's why I'm doing this. I feel a pull to do this because it's people are wanting and asking for this, as you hear your callers are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has this ability. And so if you do it through meditation easily, dreams, journaling, you will find yourself start connecting to this powerful sense of you. It is you, okay? It's you at your highest glory. It's you that knows God. It's you that is an aspect of Source, of God wisdom. And so just think of it not so much going up into it. See it as more, again, you're here in physical for a reason, but see it more as coming into you and you having that direct communication with it.
Karen, you don't talk much about demons or the evil side of this. How come?
Well, you know, I think when you put a name on something and you start talking about it and calling it, you're going to bring it to you. There's enough havoc in life, okay? There is evil in life in terms of our behaviors, our thoughts. It's in us. You know, we're human and we have that dualistic nature of evil and good within ourselves. It's inherent in most of our thinkings and our institutions and what we've been taught, even what we feel about ourselves sometimes. So that's why pull more of that in? We have enough of that out there in the world. Yes, we have ups and downs in life, and things happen that are atrocious and just horrible and horrific, and those are evil things. But I don't look at it as, I see God as the ultimate source. That is Source to me. And I see that everything came from this source, including anything we want to call demons or evil or angels. It all came from the same source. So ultimately within everything, there is that spark. I'm talking about the higher self. There is that spark within everything that is connected back to Source. So even if somebody's really horribly bad and people who have been able to forgive people and you're going, how the heck did they do that? I think it's because they tapped into that source and saw it in the other person. And they're not going to allow that person to take away their empowerment, their center locus of control.
Do you ever have a bad day?
Oh, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do, just like everybody else. Oh, my gosh. Okay, when I have bad days, this is what it's called. It's called being in your lower self, not your higher self, lower self. Yeah.
And then how do you pull out of it?
Okay, that's a great question, because this is something I am experimenting with many different techniques right now. And as I talk about this, I'm getting downloads of new techniques to use. And so one of the most recent techniques I learned, and I love this one, okay, and I'll give it to everybody here as well. Let's say something's not going well. Let's say you're squabbling with maybe somebody at work, and you just can't seem to do anything right, and you can't do anything right in their eyes. And so what you do is it's a three-breath process. The first breath, well, first of all, you got to look at the situation and say, okay, I can stay in the situation and be in my lower self, or I can change it. It's up to me. It's always a choice, George. We're always one degree away from where we were by a choice. And through another choice the next moment, we're another degree away. So it's a process. So then you take your first breath and say, okay, I'm going to look at the situation differently now. And then you begin to ask yourself, how can you see it differently? Make a choice. Take your next breath. And then go further into a new choice that allow you to even move further away from that. It might be as simple as, I'm going to just take some time out from hanging out with this person. And you get your third breath and you really state it with conviction that you say, I am no longer going to be involved with this person on this level. I am going to see my power taken back. I am going to be in a situation to make things better for myself, and therefore I will share that with that person when the time comes. Something of that nature, and allows you to shift moment by moment, degree by degree, through the power of your choice. Again, your locus of control that's within.
Well done. Let's go to Michael in the state of Georgia. Hi, Michael. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to tell you that you've convinced me now. About a year and a half ago, I was a skeptic, and you had an older lady on that was talking about ancient earth spirits. And I wrote down one of those names. And I was a security officer on the weekends, part-time job. And I went to the smoking area at the corner of the property, and I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette on the bench there. And I decided, well, what the heck, you know, I'll just say this. So I did. And the third time I said it, something grunted, just bellowed behind me. I mean, it sounded like a gorilla would bellow. And it sounded, you know, maybe 6 or 7 feet tall, but directly behind me.
Wow.
I mean, within a foot of me. And I jumped up and turned around. I mean, you know, just karate, boxing, defensive stance. There's not a thing.
Nothing there. It's real, Michael.
I'm a believer now. I just incidentally, I dated a witch that could read eyes. And I thought that might be a good topic for you sometime.
I love it. Okay, thanks, Michael. Appreciate you checking in. You got to be careful, Karen, as you well know, what you conjure up.
Yeah, you know, I hate that word, too.
I know it, but it sounds so good.
It's
conjure
a great word for Halloween,
demons,
isn't it?
Spirits. Oh, yeah. I love it.
It is a good word to use, and a lot of people do that. Yeah, you know, I see this as I see myself as not separate from the spirit world. And I see, but yet I see that there's a distinction. I'm not there in my physical realm. And so I say we really need to be careful because nobody really knows, has all the answers to all this. We get glimpses of it through the work we may be doing. We get glimpses of it through people's research. We get glimpses, as this gentleman just called in and shared his experience. But yet we don't fully know how to navigate it. And I think, again, the best thing to do is to get your wits about yourself. And I mean that literally. And, you know, just don't go into these realms if you just don't feel comfortable doing it. There's no why. Go back within yourself and go into your own internal realms. George, most of the problems we find in our own life is because of some faulty belief we have within. We may not feel like we think we're good enough. We may not think we may have low self-esteem. We all struggle with that. That's, you know, I've had that in my life. We all have that. And so if we can begin to make amends with that,
then we're on our way. Well, next hour, Rob Schwartz joins us as we talk about his work, Your Soul's Gift. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, last year, producer Tom Danheiser on his own produced a holiday charity CD. It was wonderful. Had a number of coast-to-coast guests who performed holiday songs, and yours truly did a song, too. I really had fun doing that. And the money was donated to Veterans Affairs all around the country. Tom's doing it again this year. It's the same CD, but it is exciting, and he wants to help out the vets one more time. That's very important to him. So get them while you can. By popular demand, it's called the Charity CD Holiday Magic Coast Style. He has reissued it. It's available for the holiday right now. It's a great little stocking stuffer or gift. So enjoy the traditional holiday songs performed by a number of your favorite Coast to Coast guests, with the proceeds going to help the veterans. How do you get to it? Just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. In the highlight reel, you will click the CD Holiday Magic section, and that'll take you straight to Amazon.com. And if for some reason you are on Amazon or you go there a lot, just in the search, put in Holiday Magic Coast Style. But it's much easier for you just to go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Click, of course, the picture in the highlight reel, the carousel of the CD Holiday Magic Style, and pick it up for the holiday season. Back in a moment with Karen Dolman. Welcome back, Karen Dolman with us. Karen's website, KarenADolman.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about her newest book, The Spirit of Alchemy. Karen, where can people get this book?
Well, you have a couple options here. You can get it on Amazon.com, paperback, Kindle. You can also get it at any of your bookstores. You go and order it. Or you can get it on my website if you want an autographed copy of any of the books. They're all three of them are there, and you can find it, like you gave the link. That's where you can get it.
Super. Isn't it fun going into a bookstore and you're seeing a book there that you wrote?
Yes, it is fun.
It's a
yes,
trip.
Yes, it is. It's an accomplishment. You know, you've done that too, George.
It's a trip. It really is.
It is a trip.
Synchronicity. Where does synchronicity fit in to all this? I mean, and when I talk about synchronicity, just an example for people. You know, you're thinking about somebody, you haven't seen them in a few years, all of a sudden they call you, or you run into them, or something like that happens. Tell me about synchronicity.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And so as you start working with this energy of your higher self and feeling and connecting to, like, everything's jiving and working, and even those days when it's not, synchronistic events can still happen. But you can actually help create them in terms of them being more the norm of your life. By the way, synchronicity is always occurring. We just don't always notice it. So when I say create them, you're really opening your awareness to seeing them more often so you can see the magic in life. I call that the real magic. So you're right, George. You're thinking about somebody or something, some topic you're working on, and all of a sudden somebody hands you the book, or you receive an email mistakenly, and it's about the subject you were looking at.
Yeah.
That happens all the time with me. And it goes back to what I like to give you a metaphor, an image to look at. This is how I look at things. I'm very visual. Is, again, think of your higher self as this big sphere, and that contains you, the little spark within it. And then think of other people as a great big sphere, and you're kind of floating around like bubbles, bumping into each other, and you overlap and cross, and you're connected. And so all these events that allow you to have that connectivity, because we already are connected, we just don't know it, but allow you to see it more often is because you are overlapping in this other dimension of your higher self. Therefore, when you're thinking of somebody heavily, all of a sudden they reach out to you, it's that kind of thing. You're using like a telepathic ability, or using just the energy of your higher self to reach out to them. So it's a very natural thing. We think this is so abnormal, but it's truly normal. And the more you take that time, like just again, 10, 15 minutes a day to get in touch with this part of you, you'll begin to see more of these synchronistic events. It'll become more the norm.
Who's creating the synchronicity? Is it you, the person thinking about this long-lost friend or the song on the radio? Or is it that individual? Is he thinking about you? How does that work?
I think synchronicity is the voice of the universe speaking through the different people. It's saying that we are all in this together. We are absolutely 100% connected. We may not see that golden thread that sews us all together, but yet when we are open to it. Now, again, synchronicity happens all the time. We just may not see it or accept it. When we're open to it more, we begin to see this little thread that does bind us all together and flows through our lives. And so I think it's just the way the universe, it's its language. It's the way it speaks to us. Symbols, signs, connections, and these things that appear in our life that seem like miracles and magical things are really just that we are all reaching into each other's different higher selves and, you know, reaching out and getting and what we might need and giving what they need. And we just are constantly doing this. Yeah, we don't see this operating at this larger level. We don't see that. We just see what's going on in our little lives. So we have to get out of the myopic view, be a lot more open to it, And you do that through connecting with your higher self.
Okay, back to the phones we go. Terry in Minnesota. Terry, you're on with Karen Dolman. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Karen. It's an honor to talk to you both.
Hi, Terry.
I just wanted to give you my Ouija board story. I've always been extremely interested in the supernatural, ghosts. I own hundreds of books on the stuff. Back in 2009, when all those shows on TV about ghost hunting, supernatural was on, Paranormal State was my favorite. I decided to take the step and get an Ouija board. So I ordered one on Amazon. The very next day, my brother called me. My older brother, he's a devout Christian. He's been a Christian for about 25 years. He called me out of the blue, and he goes, Terry, are you okay? Is everything fine? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I said, what's up? And he goes, well, I had a dream about you last night. I said, okay. He said, I was across the street. You came out of your work. At the time, I worked at a fitness center, and I was with a guy. And he said, as I came closer to him, the guy turned into a demon and ripped my ear off with his teeth.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And he woke up. But he said, I just had this bad feeling, so I had to call you. And then I told him, I said, well, that's weird. I just ordered in a Ouija board yesterday. And so, needless to say, I canceled the order. You know, I haven't even attempted to even get one since. You know, it's just kind of scary thing.
It is a scary thing. Oh, my gosh.
That's a scary story, too.
I mean, when you have these events happen like that, Karen, I mean, is there any recourse? What do you do?
Well, that's, first of all, that's an example of synchronicity. So somewhere, this is how I would view that, is somewhere, you know, they're connected, they're brothers, and they're connected on that level, but they're connected on a larger level, too, and his brother, they're concerned about each other, and maybe, and I would assume, Terry, I don't know if he's still on the phone, but...
He's listening. He's there.
Oh, good. Okay, well, there may have been some trepidation when he got the board, you know, curious about it, and his brother probably picked up on that. See, this is, again, where we're all connected on some other level, and I think it's, you know, that's fine, and... If Terry wasn't comfortable, it's probably good he canceled the order. It's not because of the board. It's because of how he feels about it. It's not the board. It's because, again, I'm going to say how he feels about it. But it sounds like Terry is a seeker, and he probably looks at some of this stuff that we're talking about tonight in other ways, and that is the way he should go about it, what feels right to him. If he felt like he should have not canceled the board, he would not have. See, I'm glad he just trusted his inner guidance system, see? He trusted it.
All right. Hey, Terry, thanks for the call. We've got a few more calls here waiting for you, Karen. But do you have to be in a certain state of altered states of awareness in order to do this?
To do the Ouija board?
To get into the other realms.
No, you don't necessarily have to. I can do it more naturally now, but yet I do spend time meditating, like I said. And I do spend time journaling, writing, doing dream recall, doing my work. So it depends, you know, it depends on the person, every situation, every person's different. But what the key is here, you really want to get in a relaxed state. So that may be kind of altered if you're used to being, you know, a type A, and I am type A. I used to be an overworker. And so I would have to find myself calming down and getting into a meditative state for me. So that is like an altered state of awareness. Some people who are already kind of that way, for them they may have to heighten their state of awareness to reach these higher levels. See, what happens is my spirit guides tell me, we are all vibration. They're vibration, we are vibration, flowers are vibration. What separates us all is the rate of our vibration. So our frequency is what separates us. And so we may have to raise our frequency for the most part, and if you're all hyped up and stuff, you need to calm down so you could be open and receptive to receiving the guidance and the connections.
Is there any limit as terms of how far you can go with this higher self, this push?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm exploring that. I'm going to see how far I can go. And I'll have an answer to that because I believe it's infinite. And so until we really understand the infinity of the cosmos, of our galaxy, of everything, of God, which we don't have an answer to either, you know, I think it goes on forever.
Let's go to Joe in Syracuse, New York. Hey, Joe, thank you. Go ahead.
George, how are you guys doing tonight?
Excellent, George. How are you? I mean, Joe.
I wanted to share and ask a question about my Ouija board experience. It's actually two of them that had the same outcome, and they were spread over 10 years apart.
Wow. Okay, go ahead, Joe. Share it.
First, I want to explain what the board looks like and where it came from. I got it from a friend. He found it in a relative's attic. The board is made of ash. It came in a red suede type of satchel. On the back side of it, the upper, if you're right dead center of the board, the upper just off center up to the right, there's a small compass. And right on the northeast quadrant of that, there's a very small pentagram that's been burned into the board. Now, when we were about 17 years old or so, there were three of us that were asking questions of the board. We'd never used one before. We were really skeptical about it. Finally, we got a response out of it. It said, "My name is Drake." Don't know what Drake means. Then it would say, "Of the North." And then there was nothing for about an hour. And we all tried it again, and it said, "Release me." And we stopped right dead in there. There was no question about it. We packed the board up, put it away.
And that was it for that?
That was it for that. A couple years ago, myself and two completely other different friends, I got the board out of the closet, the same exact outcome. Is it possible for a soul or some kind of spirit to be trapped within a physical object like that? And what do the markings on the back of the board mean?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's not my specialty. There are people that talk about and really research that if spirits or energies get trapped in boards. And I will say that I have had a board that did come with some energies with it, and I do cleanse my boards when I get them, like off eBay. So I can't speak too much to that, but I will say, pentagram, it has a rich tradition going back into many different cultures, and so it's been twisted and turned around and upside down and made into different things over time. So it just depends, you know, if it's more of a modern day, you know, who put it on there, was it already on there? And I think you said it was burnt onto it. So whoever put it on there had their own reason for it. I couldn't, you know, speak to the reason why they did that. But to me, the pentagram really represented the goddess in the beginning, and then it got transformed and turned upside down to represent something more demonic. So it just really depends what it means to you. You know, I think when you get something like that and all of a sudden you're working in with the board, I'm going to say the board because it tends to be where I hear the negative stories about the board. And I hear, George, by the way, many positive stories as well, probably even more.
Sure, Karen, sure.
Yeah,
you do.
I do. You'll be surprised. And I was surprised at first, too, by the way.
You're tricking us. You're really
no, okay,
an
I would
evil
never do that.
Witch, aren't you?
Would never do that, George.
All right.
Just kidding. Well, it's Halloween after all, right?
That's right.
What I find is if you get into any situation like that where you don't feel good about Joe did the right thing, I say, look, if somebody's treating you poorly in life, are you going to sit there and keep taking it? Unless you're in an abusive situation, sometimes it's hard to get out. Get out. Get out. So when that happens on the board and something negative comes through and you don't quite like the way it feels, you have all the control there to put that thing away. Put it away and you're done with it. And take your control back. Don't say, that spirit's going to attack me now. Keep your control with yourself. Again, go back to yourself and say, I am an empowered being. I don't need to project anything else out there. So he was smart. That was the best thing for him to do in that situation. Put it away.
Are there some people out there, because I bet there are, who use the Ouija board for evil purposes? So I agree that you use it for good. At least you try to. But are there people out there who try to use it for evil?
You know, I hear people getting out there, trying to dabble in some silly things. I say silly things because they give power to it. And then those silly things any bump or knock or thing that happens in their life, they automatically attribute it to a Ouija board. Automatically. Where it's like, that is just cardboard or wood or masonite. So I think it's the intentions again. You could sit there with an old record from a record player, like an old LP, and then try to conjure up a demon, and you may get some kind of weird experience. Again, it's going into those realms and asking for that. You could sit there with a candle. You can go into a haunted house and have an EVP box and say, come out here, where are you? Talk to me. And you can get the same kind of response. So it's not the board. I would question the person who's doing that, and I would question their sanity about doing that. Why would they want to make their life more hard?
We go next to Michael in Columbia, South Carolina, first-time caller and on the air with us. Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, George. It's an honor to talk to you. I've been listening for about 20 years.
Oh, thank you for supporting us.
I loved Art Bell, and I didn't think anybody could replace him, but you do an excellent job.
Thank you.
Karen, I'd like to tell you my Ouija board experience.
We'd love to hear it, Michael.
Okay. I was very young and very stupid. There was a group of four of us. We were teenagers. We were about 17. And we used to go over to my... There was two girls and me and my friend. And we used to go to Janine's house. And I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but we would smoke pot after school.
You can get away with
bourbon
that.
From my dad's liquor cabinet. So we were tore up from the floor up one day, and Janine breaks out a Ouija board. And the four of us get on there, and she asked the first question, and she asked for the name of the spirit we were contacting, and it went right to no. And everybody swore they wasn't cheating.
Well, what's that dog barking at,
Michael? If you know its name, right? So I wasn't surprised. But I decided to be bold with my stupid young high self, and I asked how old I was going to be when I died.
Oh, boy.
And it said 32, and that freaked us all out.
I bet it would. My God.
I'm 48, thank God.
When you got the 32
years old, I'm tooling down a two-lane blacktop out in the country in South Carolina. And the speed limit's 60, and I'm doing about 65 to 70. And I come up on an intersection, and for some reason, there's two trucks sitting there, and they don't move. And then they both start to pull out just in front of me and then stop. So the entire road is blocked. All three vehicles, everybody in them's going to die at the speed I'd hit them. I hit the brakes. I didn't do this. I think God did this. I think he put his hand in me. Or angel on my shoulder. But what happened was I slammed on the brakes of my Beretta. The car slid sideways, and I missed the truck on the left's front bumper by about an inch.
Man, now, there was maybe you were saved. You were supposed to die, Michael.
On the left and the truck on the right. So I was fixing to sideswipe the truck on the right, doing 70 miles an hour. But my foot automatically got off the brake, stomped on the gas. I shot through that little 8-foot gap, cut the wheel hard to the right, went off into the grass on the left-hand side of the road, got back onto the road, pulled over, and had a panic attack.
Jeez.
Big time.
The Ouija board wasn't lying. Karen, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it.
George, it's been a pleasure and honor. Thank you so much.
And thanks for that story, Michael.